What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Forces have killed another Palestinian in Gaza, despite a United States brokered ceasefire, bringing the toll since the so-called truce, the performative truce, to 236, as Hamas handed over remains of three more captives. Here to discuss this and more is Rami, an organizer with the Palestinian Youth Movement. Hi.
Hi, Kat. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for your patience.
Thanks for having me.
I want to talk, I want to get both, like, status of ceasefire, and I want to get Oakland arms embargo in, and we got about 10 minutes to do it, so that's the context of which we're talking. Sorry that I'm running a little bit behind. So it's the so-called ceasefire went into effect on October 10th. It is November 3rd. In that time, Rami, how many days have there been where Israel ain't dropped a bomb in Gaza?
So far, zero.
Right.
And we've seen almost 300 Palestinians killed in this time period. So we're seeing numbers that are just as deadly as before the ceasefire agreement.
And what about aid? Because that was the other piece of it. The aid was supposed to come in, and people that are literally starving to death, yes, are supposed to be able to start to get some nutrition. What's happening with that?
Aid has been severely restricted. We are not seeing even a fraction of the amount of aid that needs to be let in to actually feed people in Gaza. Israel is using all sorts of tactics, all kinds of propaganda to say that bodies aren't being, you know, the bodies that they bombed to their own hostage bodies that are unrecoverable because Israel has bombed Gaza so badly. So imagine the scale of that for children, mothers, families trying to recover their own people, let alone their own hostages. They are using that as a condition of restricting aid, of sabotaging the ceasefire agreement. And I think overall it's like, what do we expect from an agreement that was brokered by the United States? Right. A rapist and the United States, who's funding this genocide, bankrolling this genocide. How can we expect that there's going to be any accountability of Israel, let alone any international institution that's not able to do so? So, yeah, we're seeing horrible, horrible conditions persist. We saw even within the line that the agreement has said is a safe zone, which has happened over the past 2 years. Palestinians are being killed. I think three children were injured in an airstrike at a wedding today. There are still quadcopters and drones and gunfire that are injuring and killing Palestinians within any kind of safe zone. So I think what this tells us as people of conscience and as a public is that Israel will never, ever give up its genocide. It will never give up its mass killings of Palestinians. It will never forfeit the genocide that it has enacted for the past 2 years and 75 years, unless there is an actual tangible stop to these weapons that are being provided by the United States. There is no way that a ceasefire will actually take effect without an arms embargo. I think that is the message that's coming out of the ceasefire agreement.
And we knew that. I was when you saw my eyes diverted, I was actually looking at the Bay Area Palestinian Youth Movement statement about the ceasefire, right, which is the marching orders I followed. It was, yes, okay, let's celebrate because, or take a breath with Palestinians and... Right. We know it wasn't my place to say this isn't real until my Palestinian comrades said this isn't real. But we all sort of knew that this was what was going to happen because Israel. And what I was looking for is there was somewhere in a statement where I think it said something about Israel's genocidal plan to liquidate Palestinians completely out of Palestine. That's the agenda, no matter what they say. Yeah. Everything else is performance.
Absolutely it is. I mean, within the context too of Palestinians the right to resist, etc. You know, the United States will, and Israel, of course, will do anything that they can to ensure that Palestinian resistance is completely off the table, that the any type of sovereignty or, you know, for any type of Palestinian state is also never on the table. I'm thinking about Marwan Barghouti, who is still held in Israeli prisons for over 40 years. And now, you know, Trump is having talks about his potential. They will do anything to ensure that the national cause, the Palestinian national cause, stays fragmented, stays disjointed, and doesn't have a future of survival. And that's one thing that we're fighting for in the diaspora as well, is we're fighting against this fragmentation. You know, we're fighting against this lack of a national cause that we have, because here in the belly of the beast and its, you know, imperial colony is restricting any type of national identity of the Palestinian people, and that's exactly what we're fighting against.
Rami, what I know about PYM is that you all are well studied, and so as you were talking, I was reflecting on previous genocides that have come to an end. Right, so Rwanda is probably the one that everybody knows. I mean, it was awful. It was a contracted, right, period of time. I'm wondering if, as part of y'all's work and as solutionaries, right, are you looking at other? Have you looked at other places and found threads that may be relevant to the organizing, the call to action for those of us that are demanding a free Palestine?
Yeah. This is a really, really great question. I think what the past 2 years have forced us to do is to look at the situation, the genocide, the mass starvation and the mass slaughter, and the long occupation of the Palestinian people, and say, this is not an isolated case. This is not what's happening to the Palestinian people has been done before. And we can argue it's happening right now. It's happening to people in Sudan. It's happening in the Congo. It's happening all over the world by the same money, the same power. There is a war being waged on people all over the world. And there is a war being waged here in this country.
That's right.
On our Black communities, on our immigrant communities. And I have to say this because it's so relevant right now. The United States would rather scapegoat immigrants and people who really, you know, actually make this country survive and work. They would rather scapegoat those people and funnel money into the military, into ICE, into surveillance, than actually take care of the people in this country. And that's what they've always done. And I'd argue that they even want to keep the people in this country in a state of injury so that they're not able to fight back.
I mean, that's the tape right there.
Exactly.
That's and why mutual aid is so important.
Exactly. That's why mutual aid is so important, because we can only care for each other, because we know the government's not going to care for us. We're seeing now that SNAP is completely being cut. So we are seeing a war being waged by the ruling class on the working class in this country. We're even seeing this in Oakland. We're seeing the flock cameras in Oakland that's on the table right now. This is the
mass surveillance.
Yeah. Mass surveillance, and to the point where flock will be the owners of these cameras, not the city.
Funded by Palantir. Look, I'm just taking it to get, like, because people need to understand, Palantir is in the mix here.
Why are they in Oakland?
In Oakland, on Panther Ground.
Meanwhile, Oakland is shipping out military cargo to Israel.
Right.
These are all connected. Why is our city, why is the Bay Area? And one thing that I want to say is, when people were celebrating the National Guard being, you know, not being brought to Oakland, which was a major, or to the Bay Area, which is a major win, and also is a product of the billionaires calling Trump and saying, There's no need to bring the National Guard here because we'll clean up the Bay
Come
Area ourselves. What does
tell the
that
truth,
mean?
Rami. Come on and tell some truth.
What does that mean? That means that things exactly like Flock, which are being funded by Palantir, are going to be put in our cities for mass
Not
surveillance
in
for
that.
these tech companies to surveil us, for the government to surveil us. And they don't have enough money to fund SNAP. They don't have enough money to help the working class, but they have money to funnel into mass surveillance and to Israel. How
They
does that
want
make sense?
$2.25 million of Oaklanders' money to build a system when we just cut everything except for the police. Rami, I only got 2 minutes, but listen, you got me started. So you have to come on earlier. Next, like even earlier. We'll start with the top of the hour of you. Cause this is
Let's
the kind of
go.
analysis that we need to be having right now. Cause people need to understand, right, what the context really is so that we can adequately design the organize. In my personal opinion, we all just need to sit down and stop participating. And I'm gonna start saying that everywhere. Out loud, just sit down. And for that, we do need mutual aid, right? I don't say that flippantly, then, because then we gotta figure out how we're gonna feed people and lights and water and all that stuff. But as long as we are cogs in the wheel is going to continue to turn. I need an update from you, my dear, on the Oakland arms embargo. I know there's an event coming up and what is happening. When I first started covering this, I was like, who's the target? Like, who do I name and start like doing live instas at? We were not in the place for that conversation. So I'm wondering, like, what do we have a target? What's the messaging? What's the marching orders, Munchie?
Yeah, so what we know right now is Mayor Barbara Lee has responded to comment about our campaign. We've heard from multiple people in the city that they're investigating, they're looking into what's happening. We need more. The people need more. We know that Oakland has jurisdiction over its airport. It has agency over what comes in and out of its ports. We know this as a fact. The city council and specifically the Port Authority need to act quickly in terms of the military cargo that's continuing to flow out of Oakland. F-35 fighter jet components are literally flowing out of the Oakland airport as we speak. And in this moment, where Israel has killed 300 Palestinians since this faux ceasefire agreement, we need action immediately. And the way that this is connected to ICE, to surveillance, and the ways that our cities do not fund the working class and what we need, this is an imperative issue. It's a bread and butter issue for people in Oakland.
Rami, give the socials.
Yes, so you can follow Oakland Arms Embargo on Instagram, and you can follow Bay Area PYM on Instagram to stay updated with the campaign. We're going to have call to actions. We need everybody on board to do this. ArmsEmbargoNow.com. Please sign the petition. We have over 10,000 signatures. We have over 150 endorsements, including major unions. We need to make sure that this is an issue that all Oaklanders are involved in. Tell your friends and family how Oakland is facilitating this genocide and urging it to stop.
Right on, Rami. All right. We will talk soon. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you so much, Kat.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.